So, there you have it, a quick synopsis of 1 Corinthians. And this morning, very quickly, I wanted to sort of open the Bible to you, just to give you a little bit of background on the letter. And we believe that Paul wrote this letter in about 55 AD. We believe that he wrote it from Ephesus, where he was at the time. But actually, instead of opening the book of Corinthians with you today, I'd like to take you to the book of Acts. So could you just open your Bibles at Acts 18? We're going to read the first kind of 11 verses together, because there's some information that we get in Acts about Paul in Corinth that is helpful just to sort of set the scene for us. I'll then just give you a little bit of background about what Paul landed into. When he landed in Corinth, he landed into a place that made Walsall look very, very good. Okay, so let's just read from Acts 18, starting at verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens. Now, Athens was about 60 miles northeast of Corinth, and he went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. You know about Aquila and Priscilla? We'll be hearing a little bit more about them. They'd come because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So the history of that is, in 49 AD, Claudius, who was the emperor, after a series of Jewish zealot revolts, basically kicked out all the Jews, said leave. So they had to leave. So these two were Jews who had been kicked out of Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And look at where he goes. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent." So obviously the Lord knew that Paul probably was afraid and was debating about keeping silent. So the Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. So that's something of the background to Paul landing from Athens in Corinth. And what an interesting place it is. It's still there today, actually. Corinth is a city today, sort of on a strip of land on the Peloponnesian Peninsula. And it has a population today of about 50,000 people. But in Paul's day, it was very, very different. Going back 2,000 years, a big city was, you know, if you had sort of 100,000 people, a couple of 100,000 people, that was big in this era. In Paul's day, listen to this, Corinth was 750,000 people. That was huge. That was a huge population for the time. It had two ports. It was a strategic commercial hub brimming with tradesmen, merchants, sailors. But the key focal point of the city, situated on a 2,000-foot clifftop overlooking the back end of Corinth, was the Temple of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. It's estimated that in that one temple worked 1,000 prostitutes by day, and they worked the streets of Corinth at night. Corinth was a place of such sexual immorality that a verb in the Greek language grew up around that sexual immorality. And this is the verb. It's Corinthia zomina. And it literally translated means to act like a Corinthian. So if you were anywhere in Greece and you were acting in a sexually immoral way, they would say you were acting like a Corinthian. That's how bad Corinth was. That was the reputation Corinth had in the whole of Greece at this time. So Paul literally lands from the pagan worshipping Athens with idol worship, pagan philosophies. He lands in sexually immoral Corinth, in a young church trying to come to terms with what it means to be church in a sexually immoral society. Sounds familiar? Consequently, the church was having some problems with this, as you saw from the video, and other things. And Paul wrote this first letter as a response, we believe, to a letter which had been written by some people in the Corinth church. So 1 Corinthians 1:11 says this: "My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that." So there's this lady in the church called Chloe, whose household, so she was obviously known in the church because Paul only uses her first name. There was obviously things that they were concerned about, and she wrote this letter to them. I'm sure you'll agree with me that we live in a culture where information comes at high speed, boundaries are constantly being pushed back, and it seems like God is being squeezed out of society. It can appear that our views and our opinions as Christians, our beliefs, are deemed outdated and irrelevant. So, church, what is our response? And what can we learn from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church? Well, this is what we can do. We can either keep our heads down, we can keep our opinions to ourselves for fear of upsetting or offending other people, or we can live in a status quo and just not say anything at all. Or we can do what we are called to do, which is to be salt to a world that desperately needs the flavor of Jesus, and light to a world that appears, and you ask anyone out there, they will tell you the world, even to people who don't know Jesus, appears to be getting darker and darker. So how does our information-hungry, high-tech world relate to the world of Corinth 2,000 years and 2,000 miles away? It's actually 2,158 miles according to Google Maps, and it'll take you 34 hours to drive. It also said 16 days to walk. I think it would probably take me longer than 16 days to walk to Greece. But actually, how do we relate what we do 2,000 years later to what Paul spoke into the church in Corinth, a church that was struggling with surprisingly similar issues to us in the West. A church that was struggling to be in the world while not being influenced by the world. How to cope with the tensions between what they'd been taught by Paul and others about how to be a follower of Jesus while seeing very different things going on in the world around them. And even having different teachings from different apostles, as we'll find out as we go through it. You know, as a church in the 21st century, we face huge challenges. Huge issues. I believe one of the biggest issues that we face as a church, and that's the church, is whether church culture impacts society or whether society impacts church culture. Put crudely, do we get the information that shapes our views and opinions from the Bible or society around us, and which is more reliable? You know, WCC has always been a church with a strong biblical foundation, but also a church with a deep impact on society. Our key mantras, such as people are important, if it moves, pray for it, grew out of the foundations of the two love laws that Jesus sets out, love God and love people, in Mark 12 and Matthew 22. These foundational values underpin everything we do. They also underpin our vision statement of exploring the greatness of God and sharing that greatness with others. Just as the church in Corinth would have found people who were desperate, searching for truth and relevance, confused by the messages the world gives them, lost and floundering, desperate for a genuine love relationship, desperate for Jesus. So the people in Warsaw are the same, they just don't know it. And like Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, I make no apology at all for pointing us right back to the person of Jesus. As we start this new year and this new topic in 1 Corinthians, I make no apology like Paul for pointing us to the gospel of Jesus as the good news people are searching for. Let's not believe the lie of the enemy that Jesus and his church are irrelevant and the gospel is no longer what people need. Let's believe the truth. Live in the truth and point others to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, just as Paul did in the church in Corinth. Everything he did, he framed through a lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we start 2018 together and start a series in which we will be challenged personally to look at the way we treat others, the way we behave ourselves, the way we steward what God has given us, challenged to love till it hurts, I want to encourage us to posture ourselves both personally and as a church to be ready to face some difficult topics that we're going to look at this term, but to do it in order to be better prepared, better equipped for taking Jesus into a society which is desperate for him, desperate for a love touch from Jesus. They just don't know it. I also felt that it was important, as we just finish our time together now, to acknowledge that for many of us walking into 2018, Many of us are walking with challenges, circumstances that are difficult, personal things that we walk in. And just as we walk into 2018 together, I just felt that it was right. If we could just stand, let's just stand together. I just felt that it was right that we just position ourselves as a church, posture ourselves on the edge of 2018. You know, I want to look more like Jesus at the end of this year than I do right now. And I know that you want the same. And I just want to encourage us, just as we set forth together as a church together on a journey, just spend a moment together with the Lord. Just say, Lord, if there's anything in me that this year you need to strip away, then I'm up for that, Lord. If there's anything in me that stops me being more like Jesus, Lord, take it away. Lord, if there's anything you want to do with me, if there's any place that you want me to step out of the boat with you this year, Lord, I'm up for that because I want to be more like you at the end of this year than I am right now. And I know that that doesn't just happen, and I know that that doesn't just happen by me doing nothing. But that happens because I've made that choice. So let's just be quiet for a moment and just pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are good. You always have been, you always will be. That you are faithful. Throughout the generations, you are faithful. And you are faithful in our lives too. So, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness in 2017. We thank you for your faithfulness to us as individuals, as families, and as a church family together. And, Lord, as we just stand on the edge of 2018 together, Father, if there is anything in us that you need to do to make us more like Jesus this year, we are open to receive that from you. Lord, for those of us who are going through difficult, challenging things this year, Lord, and have been, Lord, we thank you that you walk with us. Lord, that you carry us at those times, that we're never on our own, you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, as we open the book of 1 Corinthians together, as we talk through some challenging topics, Lord, would you just bring unity? Would you bring your love that we would be more salty and more light-bearing to those who are so desperate for you? Lord, would you use us this year in the name of Jesus? Amen.